Let's begin now.
Know that music by now. You should know when you hear that, you get 3 hours most of the time with your boy, formerly known as the Dirty Werewolf, now known as the Crown Jewel. I didn't make it up. Somebody else did. Welcome to After Hours, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. What a fun night we will have tonight. It's Thursday, 3 hours. It's myself, Dusty Likens. Nice to meet you. If you're just now listening for the first time, buckle in. Julio Sanchez with you tonight as well. NBA Finals. Can't wait. No severe weather, so we shouldn't get interrupted by local weathermen or women, which is always a praise be situation. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio, a program I like to call After Hours. I ain't done. Big win today for your boys in blue. The Royals take one of two in Cleveland, a rainout game rescheduled for later on. I'm sure that you got that. I'll tell you this. Julio, do it to me, baby. That's right. There's that cruise ship music. I know you feel it rocking a little bit sometimes. 3-7 in your last 10, you were ready to hang over the side and start puking because you were getting seasick. That's what happens. Today, that seasick motion ended. Because you had a lot of fun today. I know you did. And it probably came at this moment.
Fastball ripped into right field, base hit. Frazier takes off for third. Wilson waves him around. Brennan's throw the plate on a bounce, not in time. Frazier slides in feet first and safe. Kyle Isbell gives the Royals the lead. It's 4-3 in the top of the eighth inning.
4-3 would be your final score as the Royals Caribbean cruise ship that we have coined this phrase for the entire summer. How you doing? You took one of two from Cleveland. You went 50-50. Can't go 50-50. Never mind. I'm not going to get into that song by Drake. But I'm going to tell you this. It's always going to be Cleveland, and I guarantee you, I know where all of you were today. They split a series. They did it in Cleveland. Oh, Dusty, a game got rained out. They could have gone 1-2. Hey, they didn't. Now they continue as they move back home on this cruise ship that you're all on. You can't get off. There's no land in sight. It's just royal blue ocean. And now that cruise ship is starting to find its way back to Kansas City where you, and you can all go see this team play yet again. Another one-seeded team, another top team of a division, the Seattle Mariners, who did you very dirty in Seattle. Now they get to come here. They get to see the ship. They get to see it rocking and being alive in Kansas City because it was a big win today. It felt bigger than the win that they had to close out the series and the previous series before they played Cleveland. Right? You remember that game on Sunday. We're all sitting at the edge of our seats. They came back and won. Nelly hit the fly ball to get the triple to knock in the two runs. And then you had the sack fly to win the game. That felt big. That felt enormous. No. Today, baby. Oh, baby. Today felt real good. Because that was Cleveland. They move on and they come home. They continue to ride this boat. And for those of you that are wondering, now, according to Baseball Reference, which some of you may not like, and some of you may say, hey, Dusty, their lines are screwed. Skewed, not screwed. You know that playoff percentage that we told you about, oh, I don't know, 2.5, 3 weeks ago here on this program that you hear only when the Royals play day games and there's a bye day? That was a 62% chance to make the playoffs as of right now. With your team having a much higher above 500 record, second place in the AL Central. Their playoff odds now are 76.4%. Welcome to the cruise line. I am your captain. I am speaking, and I am letting you know I understand. I know what it's been like. I know that it's been tense and fun 3-7 in 10 games is not what you're really liking to see. But hey, pad those stats when you play the White Sox. Pad those stats when you play other teams less superior than you, the Oakland Athletics, who you'll play here next week. This is what it's all about. This is why we call it the cruise ship. You don't want it to stop. It ain't always going to be sunny. It ain't always going to be fun. You're not always going to be able to get on the top deck, put your feet up, get your little cocktail, and say, honey, we're having fun, aren't we? No. There's going to be some days where your captain's going to say, excuse me, everybody, but today we have to stay inside. It's a bit rainy. High waves. That happens from time to time, but this is why this summer is going to be fun. And it's not even technically summer yet. It feels like it. It looks like it. But boy, are these boys fun to watch, and they keep you entertained. Let me give you a scene of what I had today. Other job, aka side gig, restaurant industry, right? Everybody ate their meals and refused to leave. Normally servers will get upset with campers, but we were all in the same boat today. No pun intended. And everybody, elbows on the table. What are they going to do next? Crossed arms, biting fingernails, looking at the score. Man, can we just get a guy home from third? What's MJ Melendez going to do? I don't know. Making a miraculous slide to basically be the hero of the game? I understand. If you missed it, here was the audio.
After review, there is no blocking by the catcher. However, the call on the field is overturned. The runner is safe. Kansas City will keep his challenge.
How about that? MJ tagged the play with that right hand as he tumbled over the catcher.
How about that play? That's like your mid-afternoon showcase moment on the starboard side of the ship. Hey, let's go over here and see what MJ's doing on this day. Making an incredible slide, getting a base hit, drawing a walk, doing things that were important. I know he's been struggling. But those are the types of things when you play games like this, you need somebody to step up. Bobby Witt Jr. gets his 80th hit of the season. They got 99 of these bad boys to go. We got 99 days of a cruise left. I know you're ready. Lather up the sunscreen. Extend that bar tab, baby. You gotta do this, man. You gotta feel this. Men, women, children, couples, singles, everybody. This is what this Royal Caribbean cruise is going to be all summer long, and I know that you're in. I know that you're having fun with it, because I know I am. I know watching people around are having fun with it. I know you're going home. You're either listening to it, you're watching it, you've either suckered in and bought the app. I know my stepmom, very good with money, couldn't get the game, said, ah, the hell with it. It's too depressing not to be able to watch these Royals, when it used to be very depressing to watch these Royals. The bullpen looked great today. I'll take that bullpen 9 out of 10 times moving forward. Hunter Renfro showed up in a Cleveland series. Hey, don't. Somebody says, too bad their Mariners are better at sea. Get lost. They're going to come to uncharted waters. They're good at their own sea level. Welcome to the Midwest Sea that doesn't exist, but it's a Royal Sea. We'll see how many people will be in attendance. 77,000 came to the weekend series against San Diego. I don't know if we'll clip 77,000, but boy, this team's playing good. They're a 76% chance to make the playoffs. They have a 3-game lead over the Twins for the wild card spot. Welcome to the Royal Cruise. I am your captain. Now I want a pina colada. You're on a cruise ship right now, Julio. What are you ordering?
Give me a Bahama Mama with the umbrella. You know? Gotta add the little umbrella.
Slice of pineapple in that thing.
Yeah, buddy.
I like the drink at Lake of the Ozarks. They call it a pain in the ass. I don't really know what's in it, but they put one of those little plastic tubes in there that you can either pull it or you can let it slowly go down. I'm always pulling that tube and letting it just more, you know, get
always in there. Pulling the tube, huh?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Crown Jewel, what do you think about the Royals trade for Brent Rooker and Mason Miller and the A's? Get Caden Walsh. Look, we'll get into what I want. I think that topic might upset a few, but I'm going to tell you what I want because I've seen enough, right? Am I right with that? Like, are you ready to, like, tomorrow night, right? I'm going to do the drive tomorrow. Carrington's going to Vegas. I'm going to fill in Friday and Monday. I can tell you right now, Julio,
This weekend is Downtown Days in Lee's Summit, one of my favorite weekends of all time, being a local Lee's Summit guy. I'm probably going to start watching the game before I head down there, because the cover band's like a Journey cover band. I'm not a huge Journey guy, but I'll tell you this. I'll watch the Royals game and then head down. Instead of maybe last year, I would have been like, let's just go. Let's just get out of here. Dude, I'm ready. I'm one of those guys where my night reflects around the Royals. Like, I will go home, get things ready, prep dinner, have it good to go, 6:30, Royals live. 6 o'clock, Josh Verner's on the
I think
radio.
Majority of casual fans by this point, I feel like you've either bought in or you haven't at this point. I mean, what more could they do for you to buy in, right?
Right. I'm damn close to getting a Bobby Witt jersey. I'm this close.
And you're not a jersey guy, huh?
Mm-mm. I don't even know how you'd wear a baseball jersey, win or it, I do only a baseball game.
Pretty much.
I ain't wearing that thing out.
To the pool? Wear it to the pool, you know?
No, that's a basketball jersey. That's why I got to buy the Luka jersey. Speaking of that, we'll get into the NBA tonight. Somebody asked what my parlay was. Do I let them know now? Or do we tease it?
Don't tease us.
Okay.
Give it to me.
No, you're fair. I already put it in. We won the last parlay, Mr. Julio.
You're welcome.
tonight's parlay, the crown jewel parlay, if you want to tag along. I have a three-leg parlay. It is plus 425 on DraftKings. I have Dallas Mavericks +6.5. I have Luka Doncic over 31.5. And I have Luka Doncic over 9.5 rebounds. So we need 32 points, 10 rebounds, and we need them to cover at least 6.5. I love Dallas in this series. I think Dallas in 7. I think Carrington told me Dallas in 6.
But you think they take this first game, huh?
I do.
Okay.
I do. Yeah. Greenski Blues at Grinders tomorrow. Blair, nice to listen to you. Thanks again for the very kind gesture. I have the pens and the golf bag still right on my desk. Dustman and crew, I just bought a 4-pack of tickets for the Cardinals series in St. Louis. Our first road trip, if you will. We'll be cruising with the local KC Flair in enemy territory. Damn right.
How nice is it going to be to go into St. Louis being the winning baseball team?
Mm.
Right? That hasn't happened for some time.
They just piss me off. Like, my best friend's a Cardinals fan. And, I mean, you'd think, dude, I'm dead serious. You would think that they are 20. You'd think they're the White Sox right now. They're, like, just barely under 500. And it's like the sky is falling. I was talking to another guy about St. Louis. I'm like, come on, no. Really, it's that bad? It's not. Lose 109 games. Let me know how you feel. But we're the best fans in baseball.
Do it for multiple seasons.
Right.
Too,
do it for like almost a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 years. Dusty, my man, glad I get you on the app tonight. My mom died this morning, so I need your delucid tones. I'm sorry to hear the passing of your mother.
Got dark quick. I'm sorry.
I apologize, man. Yeah. From one person that's lost a mother, I can reach out whenever you want. At Dusty Likens on Twitter. We'll get you through it tonight. That gives us some more motivation. Somebody says, can I still call you Dirty Dubs? You call me whatever you want. I just go by certain names. Somebody says, more like a Dirty Jewel. That's interesting.
I kind of like it. That sounds kind of catchy.
Yeah. We're gonna talk some more Royals as we move on through the night. We will get to the Chiefs and Mecole Hardman situation. We will talk about a recent development in a head coaching job in the NBA and what the narrative is around that. Also, we will dive into some other great news out of left field question at 8 o'clock. But coming up on the other side, I felt like we all had the same feelings today. I'll explain next. You're listening to After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Okay.
Is this cliche enough? I mean, you said you were such a Journey fan. This is what
always gets me in trouble with the text line. Because I'm not here to say that my music is the best. I've never been that guy. I never like to be in charge of the speaker or the parties or the bonfire. I just always let somebody else do it. Too much stress. But this is a song that I feel like is only nice when you're drunk.
It's fair.
Top three drunk songs that are great. This one, Sweet Caroline. Build Me Up Buttercup. I feel like sober Dusty, not into it.
Not happy.
I don't want to hear this song driving home on the highway.
You want me to turn it up?
You do whatever you want. You want give the people. I'm sure there's a lot of people who love Steve Perry.
You know? I heard you were such a big Journey fan, yeah, so I thought, you know. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like the song just goes on and on.
It's just one of those songs, man, that if I'm stone cold sober driving home after the show and it comes on, station gets changed. Or it's the next song on the phone.
It's cold blooded.
But if I'm like 7 Miller Lights deep, 16-ounce cans at a pool, and somebody hits this song, I guarantee you I'll be at the top of my lungs. You know? Cause this seems like one of those songs, it's like anytime someone plays it as a cover band, they're gonna literally just sing every other word and then they're gonna angle the microphone to the crowd. And I hate the song Sweet Caroline. Hate it. But if I
go Boston.
But no. You want Boston?
No, I don't. Okay. No.
We'll dive into that too. I'm glad that you're on my side. Out of left field question in about an hour and a half. You know how fast these shows go. You know how fast that game was.
The 1-0 pitch. Fastball stroke down the right field line toward the corner. Brennan races after it. It drops for a base hit into the corner. Garcia's in to score easily. Pasquantino rounds first. Dives into second ahead of the throw. He's safe.
Thank God I'll never get drunk with the Crown Wolverine. Your drunk music sucks. I don't listen to it when I'm hammered. I'm just saying if I'm out and about, like when I go to Downtown Days in Lee's Summit tomorrow night and there's a Journey cover band that starts at 8 on the main stage, and they play that song at like 10 o'clock because you know that's their final song. You know that's the final song. What else were they? You know, nothing else. I'll be there. Somebody says Piano Man is another good drunk song alone song. Unless you're watching on Paramount and they cut or TV and they cut it right in the middle of it.
Too soon.
Dustman, what a game today. That MJ run was the Chiefs. It was the chef's kiss. Absolutely. Today told me a lot. Not so much with the fan base. I know where you all are at now. I know who's on this Royal cruise ship with me, who's not. But today showed me a lot because as there are 99 games left in this season, today was proof. Today was proof of what we saw today because the Royals now 4 games out, no blood was lost. You went into the series 4 games out. You came out of the series 4 games out. You have a 3-game lead over the Twins in the wild card. You're behind Baltimore. The Yankees, the Guardians, and the Seattle Mariners lead their divisions. And then the next two teams are Baltimore, which has a 2-game lead over the Royals for that wild card spot, which makes those losses early in the season really hurt. And then it's you. It's you, Royals fans, that have a 76% chance as of right now with 99 games to go to make playoff baseball relevant again in the city of Kansas City that we so definitely love. And what today showed me, the story of what I saw, how tense this one was, how great this one was, right? This is what it's all about as this season moves on. Because, again, I told you the ambiance in the restaurant today was tense. People were excited to eat their food, but they were more excited that the Royals were on every TV. There were people in the back doing their side work, listening to the Royals. I was one of them. And for me, what I saw in this team, I know there's a lot of people that have questions about the trade deadline. What are they going to do? Who are they going to get? Where are they going to go? They need a corner outfielder. They need a bullpen arm. The hell with the corner outfielder. I want the Royals to just load up on bullpen arms. Your pitching staff is just fine. You're starting 3, and I know Brady Singer didn't have great stuff today, and it was against Cleveland, but Brady Singer still with a 2-some ERA. Seth Lugo's ERA ballooned to like a 2.13 after being a 1.72. He's still just fine. And Cole Reagans is still your horse. You got 3 solid guys at the top. Your lineup, I get it. They can score. They can score runs. I don't think there's any sort of issue. I know that there are people out there. They're like, oh, no. You need another bat in this lineup. You can always use that. Yeah, sure. That's fine. This is just what I want and what I saw. And you've seen why everybody asks the questions. Why are the Cleveland Guardians continuously winning? Because they have that surefire, darn good bullpen. That's what they have. If they've got a 2-run lead going into the 7th inning, it's all but over. Seems a little bit similar, right? And I understand the Royals, and probably not anybody, will ever have what that 14 and 15 bullpen was, where you had the HDH and then you had Herrera and Davis towards the 15 season. We like to call those things anomalies. For those of you that are listening poolside or you're listening patio side, just waiting for this NBA Finals game to start. This is why this is the greatest time of the year. Right? Baseball's in full swing. The NBA Finals are here. The weather's great. You can go play nine holes starting at, you could play nine right now if you teed off right now. Guarantee it. But again, I still trust this staff as these Royals pitchers to do their thing. It's been too long. There's been too much proof in the water. There's been too much to see to know that this isn't going to be a staff that eventually is just going to be like, what happened? And I'm not saying that every start they go out there, they're going to have quality starts. Seems to be that's the case. I know Alec Marsh has not been his best the last two outings. Brady Singer wasn't his best today. Lugo got roughed up by Cleveland. And Reagans has had a couple of starts where you're like, that's not our ace, but we still trust this guy to be the front runner for the ace position. Give me like three bullpen arms and let the bullpen that you currently have use that as motivation to want to be a part of this run. And what I mean by that is that I think that if you can do that, you can kind of copycat that Cleveland recipe. Right, they're doing this without Shane Bieber, their main ace. Something's going to happen eventually. Right, eventually they're going to play a gauntlet of a schedule. Maybe not as consecutive as the Royals, where you're playing Cleveland, Seattle, Yankees, Dodgers. Oh, and then you get a break, right? You get a break. You get to play the A's and the Rangers, and then you play Cleveland again. That's the month of June. That's the rest of your month of June. And we've heard JJ talk as he was on Cody and Gold show earlier this week, as he's been on Royals pregame shows. Nobody's really given up or told themselves that they're ready to start making moves. But if the Royals do want to make moves, they want to make them earlier on. Why not? Load up your bullpen. I trust your top five guys in your lineup to be able to produce, and they have. Bobby Witt Jr. leads every single offensive category except for one. On base percentage, I believe that's Sal Perez. Bobby Witt Jr. second. He leads in average. He leads in home runs, RBI, slug, OPB, OPS plus, all those nerdy stats that we love these days. But that's what I'm saying that I think that you can get, because here's the best part of it. Let's say that you just get two bullpen arms. That's all you make moves of, right? You're not going into the playoffs, if you get there or towards the end of the season, with a full five-man rotation. Somebody's going to slide in. Waka obviously hurt. Your pitching matchups this weekend coming up are Daniel Lynch, who's been great so far, followed by Alec Marsh, questionable, but he's your fifth starter, still young, still built like a brick you-know-what house. And then you get Cole Reagans on Sunday. And you know Seattle's pitching staff, they're dynamite. Might be the best in baseball or one of the top three in baseball. But how many times have we seen this year where it hasn't really been the offense that's been the problem, right? It's that seventh, eighth, ninth. MacArthur's been decent, the general. But the best part about all this is if you can go get two or three guys and say, you know what, I think we can ride with this offense, but let's go get two guys to create in-house competition, which you know that I love that because it works. Let's go get guys that can make this bullpen even deeper. And then you can give guys longer rests. And then you can have that in-house competition where it's like, I want to be a part of this. Hey, Q, give me the rock in the seventh inning. That elevates Zerpa's play. Maybe that elevates Schreiber's play. Maybe that elevates MacArthur's play. And then you'll get guys and teams that like the A's, or maybe there's guys out there for other teams and divisions that are just, we're not going to make it. Let's make some moves now. Oh, the Royals are starting early. They're going to turn heads. This team's serious. This is a team just want to be competitive. Nah. This is a team that wants to play baseball in October. This is a team that wants Dusty to lead a training camp show in St. Joe day one on a Saturday at 9 a.m. talking Royals while we're in the homeland of Kansas City Chiefs offseason workouts, training camp, whatever you want to call it. Coming up on the other side, Mecole Hardman. We'll talk some Chiefs, what that means, for a couple of other guys, and maybe what Julio thinks he thinks. We'll see some receivers stay and some receivers go, because not everybody's making the team. That's just the way the world works. This is After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Back here on After Hours, this thing is moving along. Going to keep on rolling, like King George said. Don't need one woman, got to have three. One to hold me down, one to raise me up, and the other one that just don't, well, it's radio. Sorry for cussing. Somebody says, Boston is amazing, but Don't Stop Believing can be taken behind the woodshed and shot. And dark. From the 816. Thank you. I thought I was the only one who hated Sweet Caroline. No, dude, I hate that song.
So overplayed.
Oh, brutal. Boston and Dallas will supposedly start at 7:30. You know that game ain't tipping off till 8.
They do play Sweet Caroline tonight, right?
1,000%.
Right.
Okay. 1,000%.
Yep.
Other reasons why we don't love Boston. Hey, Dusty, love listening to you, man. What's it going to take to play a round of golf at Hoots Hollow with you and give me a shout-out on the new automotive shop I purchased in Harrisonville? Love listening to you. Well, there's your shout-out, 816. Got to play golf, man. Played in a golf league last night with my buddy Andrew, and they wrote my name. Remember how we were talking about how my name always gets? Lincolns, L-I-N-K-I-N-S, a new one. I thought we were done. I thought we were, you know, it was.
I thought it was Lincolns.
It was Lincolns, Lichens. Now it's Lincolns. L-I-N-K-I-N-S. Doesn't even come close.
Did you just roll with it?
No, my buddy's a good guy. He scratched out and spelled my name right. And then I did a little video of it. And people are like, I didn't know your real name was Dustin. Well, what did you think it was? You know? It's like when you go to Freddy's. And then, what's the name on the order? I'm like, Dustin. They're like, okay, Justin, go ahead. I'm like, that's fine. You know?
Dirty Jewel.
Yeah. Stefan's Auto Works, LLC. There you go. Shout out to Stefan's Auto Work, LLC. I hope that didn't get me in trouble with the boss.
Feel free to sponsor the show.
Yeah, feel free. Somebody could step up.
Yeah.
Don't need one sponsor. Got to have three. No, so today the news was the Kansas City Chiefs are going to give Mecole Hardman a one-year contract. There are two different ways that you could look into this move. There are two ways. And one is, this is a move because you want, well, in the same way, it's a move of trust. It's a move of, you know, some sort of way to have somebody on a team like they did last year when they brought Mecole Hardman in from the Jets. They were tired of drops, right? They were tired of mistakes. They needed somebody to get Mahomes a little more comfortable in a certain amount of routes, right? They ran the Super Bowl winning play, went to Mecole Hardman. Big time trust. To steal a line from Mark Ingram. Big trust. And they brought him back for a one-year deal, and some people would say, oh, this is for the John, this is for the, you know, I'm drawing a blank on his name, the guy that got in trouble. Rashee Rice. This is Rashee Rice, you know, fill in for whatever he gets suspended, if or when he does get suspended. Or
is he, though?
We don't know. I'm done speculating because I either get roasted or I, very different player, right? And the way I look at this is that this team, like you all know, is pining for a three-peat. Nobody's done it in football. People have gotten close. It's incredibly hard to do it. And if you're going to do it, you've got to be dang near perfect. Owen, if you're listening, I swear I'm not going to cuss. Shout out to Owen. Not going to cuss. Dang near perfect. You have to be dang near perfect. You can't have those games like you did against the Buffalo Bills that can cost you a one seed. You want to lock the one seed up. You want the first round games at Arrowhead, and then you want to go into the Super Bowl a chance to win a three-peat. And if you're going to do that, you can't have the mistakes. And last year, the guys that kind of found themselves on the outside looking in were Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney. And when you brought Mecole Hardman in, it was because he was there to patch up what that was. That's why you saw Mahomes get frustrated. Too many drops. Jay Binkley would say, hey, I don't know if I can throw the ball to Kadarius Toney more. And by the way, Kadarius Toney basically costed you a number one seed. Lost to the Bills.
Yep.
Lose to the Lions. Those two games, if you win both of those games, technically you would have been the better team than Baltimore with the in-division's record. AFC, that is, you're the one seed. It didn't matter last year, obviously, but it would have been a little bit nicer to have that. Here's the deal. If Mecole Hardman is coming in, who's the odd man out? Is it Sky Moore or is it Kadarius Toney? And the numbers that I can give you to give your opinion is if you keep Kadarius Toney next year, it's $2.5 million on the records. If you cut Kadarius Toney, it is $2.5 million in dead cap. If you keep Sky Moore next year, it's $1.7 million on the books. And if you part ways with Sky Moore, you eat $900,000. You choose where you like. Hardman is a safe hand. Whether he does it for you or not, he's not a guy that's going to go out there and give you 700, 800, 600 yards. He's a guy that Mahomes knows there's about four plays in the playbook that he knows Mecole Hardman will be. He trusts his speed, and he trusts his knowledge with him and the other guys. I don't think Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney have that, let alone will they have that, and I truly believe Kadarius Toney is the odd man out. I think he's the guy where it's like, hey, we tried, we thought it would work, it never happened. It was frustrating last year. I don't believe we have the same sort of rapport moving into this year, and we just don't want the headaches because, in fact, you're going for a three-peat of an NFL title. You might see things different, Mr. Sanchez.
I do. I think Sky Moore is the odd man out. I think he got his opportunity for more than half the season last year of just getting a ridiculous amount of snaps and doing absolutely nothing with them. Granted, he didn't hurt the team, but he didn't help the team any. I think maybe the only saving grace is maybe that, right, he's their draft pick. Mm-hmm. You spend a second round on him. But then again, you gave away a lot for Kadarius Toney. Not a lot, but you gave some away for Kadarius Toney.
Right.
And he has the higher ceiling. Whether you like to admit it or not, he might have the lower floor, right? But he has the higher ceiling. And I think his higher ceiling and what he can maybe bring to maybe like the special teams
mm-hmm.
part of it, I think also has to play into the equation because we tried that experiment with Sky Moore too, right? And that didn't necessarily go so well either. So I think he just maybe brings a little bit more to the table. Again, maybe a lower ceiling, or a lower floor, but a higher ceiling.
And I don't know if that ceiling still exists for Kadarius Toney, because a lot of times in professional careers, we see this where maybe the shock of not having it for a certain amount of time kind of takes that away. Like I'm with you, man. Like, Kadarius Toney's speed is there. Kadarius Toney's athleticism is there. Sky Moore was supposed to be that guy with tree trunk legs that could move like a running back but could catch like a receiver. We never saw it. And the way that special teams are moving forward in the NFL, it doesn't really seem like those guys fit either, especially when you go get, you know, Reese Lightning, right? You have guys like that maybe you want experience with. You have, you know, different opportunities there. And again, the main focus and the main narrative of this conversation is to do it three straight times. You've got to almost be perfect in year three of the championship run. And I don't think you can have that with either one, but I also don't think that you can keep Kadarius Toney for 2.5, whereas you could cut him for 2.5 and you have no distractions.
See, I don't think they necessarily have to be perfect. I mean, they proved that last year, right? That was a little bit of a train wreck of at least the first half of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of things that didn't go their way.
Right.
They could do the same thing, I think, this year. Again, I think they're at the point now, right, where it's just about getting into the playoffs. Like, as long as you can get in there, like, yeah, sure, you want the bye. If you don't get it, it is what it is. But get into the playoffs, and then they can turn it up, and they've proven that they can turn it up. So I think, especially going into the season on paper, with the offensive firepower they have, I think they will have a little more, and, right, the defensive pieces that they're bringing back, they have a little more wiggle room too, I think, this year than they did last year. So I think they do have the opportunity to experiment a little bit more this year and get away with a little bit more than, say, maybe they did last year, especially when they were kind of forced to last year because of Kadarius Toney's issues or Sky Moore being unproductive. So
right. It's just hard for me to pay a guy $2.5 million to just maybe return one or two kicks.
I mean, but that's
chump
change in the grand scheme of things. I mean, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I bet if you put up to a vote, who would you rather see stick around, Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore? I bet it's 70-30 Sky Moore.
You think? Oh, no way. No way.
I think so.
60-40, if not closer.
That they want Kadarius Toney to stay?
To go.
Yeah.
I think more people probably would want Kadarius Toney to go, but I think it'd be much closer than you think.
913-586. That's the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. This is After Hours. Coming up on the other side, some jobs, you just have to take them. I'll explain what I mean by that on the other side. Listen, After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
So hard makes me say, oh my Lord. 913-586-7610. Chiefs have to be more ruthless. Get rid of unwanted, useless players like Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney. Justin Watson had more production than those two combined last year. Trim the fat.
It's a good problem to have, right? Kind of first world problems.
Yeah. Number one in the world of football problems. Somebody says it's got to be Kadarius Toney. He's too much of a head case, no matter how much talent he has with the ball in his hands. If not KT, then stick his blank on kick returns. Not cussing. My buddy said they were going to listen to this while they're out in the pool. And every time I say a curse word, I have to hear it from his son and be like, you cussed on the air. You know how kids are.
That's why they don't call you the dirty werewolf anymore, right?
Nope. And because that name is linked to an armed robbery.
It's now the dirty gem.
The dirty jewel. I don't know about all that. I don't know if you heard or saw this news today, but a Woj bomb came flying in at about 7 o'clock this morning. Unfortunately, I'm a loser and I have Adam Schefter and other guys' notifications on alert. And at like 7:30, my phone dings and I thought maybe I missed something. And it was just this.
Woj, what do you have this morning?
Randy, a massive development in the NBA, potentially college basketball. The Los Angeles Lakers are preparing a massive long-term offer for Connecticut Huskies coach Dan Hurley to become the next Lakers coach. He is the target of their search. He's been the target of the Lakers search since the beginning. The sides have had preliminary contact, I'm told, and those conversations are expected to escalate in the coming days. Dan Hurley has shown a willingness to listen to the Lakers, Rob Pelinka, their vice president and GM, and Jeannie Buss, their owner, to hear them out on what a Hurley-Lakers partnership would look like. And this, you know, for Dan Hurley, the NBA has been an ambition of his. He has talked about it. And the chance to hear out the Lakers, which is certainly the mountaintop of coaching at any level, is something he's going to do now in the coming days. The Lakers have been relentless, I'm told, in their pursuit of Hurley. And now they're going to get a chance, you know, to extensively lay out to him the vision they see for bringing Dan Hurley's program to the NBA. And that's what the Lakers are after here, I'm told, is putting in place a legacy coach with a long-term deal. I'm told a massive commitment financially and allow Dan Hurley to come to LA and put in place a system, put in place a real long-term vision with Pelinka to run that organization. Certainly major ramifications for the UConn program, back-to-back national championships. You know, Dan Hurley has become the most sought-after coach at any level of basketball. He was not willing to listen to any college jobs, you know, after winning that second championship. But he is willing to listen to the Lakers. They have communicated, and those talks now are going to pick up over the next few days.
That was a Woj bomb that we got this morning. Dan Hurley, according to SpotTrack, signed a six-year, $32.1 million extension with UConn last summer. He must pay 1.8 fee to leave for an NBA job. He was reportedly offered anywhere from $10 to $12 million per year from Kentucky, and top NBA head coaches reportedly earn between $14 and $17 million per year. A six-year, $32 million contract, easy math, about $5.3 million a year, a significant jump. As they are talking about this on NBA pregame right now, as we speak, it's almost like we spoke it into existence to NBA. This is a job, the Lakers' job, and you heard Wojnarowski talk about it. You have to take this job. Boston and Dallas will supposedly start at 7:30. You know that game ain't tipping off till 8.
They do play Sweet Caroline tonight, right?
1,000%.
Right. Okay.
1,000%.
Yep.
Other reasons why we don't love Boston. Hey, Dusty, love listening to you, man.
What's it going to take to play a round of golf at Hoots Hollow with you and give me a shout out on the new automotive shop I purchased in Harrisonville? Love listening to you. Well, there's your shout out, 816. Got to play golf, man. Played in a golf league last night with my buddy Andrew. And they wrote my name. Remember how we were talking about how my name always gets? Lincolns, L-I-N-K-I-N-S, a new one. I thought we were done. I thought we were, you know, it was.
I thought it was Lincolns.
It was Lincolns, Lichens, now it's Lincolns. L-I-N-K-I-N-S. Doesn't even come close to it.
Did you just roll with it?
No, my buddy's a good guy. He scratched out and spelled my name right. And then I did a like a little video of it. And people are like, I didn't know your real name was Dustin. Well, what did you think it was? You know? It's like when you go to Freddy's. And then, what's the name on the order? I'm like, Dustin. They're like, okay, Justin, go ahead. I'm like, that's fine. You know?
Dirty Jewel?
Yeah. Stefan's Auto Works, LLC. There you go. Shout out to Stefan's Auto Work, LLC. I hope that didn't get me in trouble with the boss.
Feel free to sponsor the show.
Yeah, feel free. Somebody could step up.
Yeah.
Don't need one sponsor. Got to have three. No, so today the news was the Kansas City Chiefs are going to give Mecole Hardman a one-year contract. There are two different ways that you could look into this move. There are two ways. And one is, this is a move because you want, well, in the same way, it's a move of trust. It's a move of, you know, some sort of way to have somebody on a team like they did last year when they brought Mecole Hardman in from the Jets. They were tired of drops, right? They were tired of mistakes. They needed somebody to get Mahomes a little more comfortable in a certain amount of routes, right? They ran the Super Bowl winning play, went to Mecole Hardman. Big time trust. To steal a line from Mark Ingram. Big trust. And they brought him back for a one-year deal, and some people would say, oh, this is for the John, this is for the, you know, I'm drawing a blank on his name, the guy that got in trouble. Rashee Rice. This is Rashee Rice, you know, fill in for whatever he gets suspended, if or when he does get suspended. Or
is he though?
We don't know. I'm done speculating because I either get roasted or very different player. Right? And the way I look at this is that this team, like you all know, is pining for a three-peat. Nobody's done it in football. People have gotten close. It's incredibly hard to do it. And if you're going to do it, you've got to be dang near perfect. Owen, if you're listening, I swear I'm not going to cuss. Shout out to Owen. Not going to cuss. Dang near perfect. You have to be dang near perfect. You can't have those games like you did against the Buffalo Bills that can cost you a one seed. You want to lock the one seed up. You want the first round games at Arrowhead, and then you want to go into the Super Bowl a chance to win a three-peat. And if you're going to do that, you can't have the mistakes. And last year, the guys that kind of found themselves on the outside looking in were Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney. And when you brought Mecole Hardman in, it was because he was there to patch up what that was. That's why you saw Mahomes get frustrated. Too many drops. Jay Binkley would say, hey, I don't know if I can throw the ball to Kadarius Toney more. And by the way, Kadarius Toney basically costed you a number one seed. Lost to the Bills.
Yep.
Lose to the Lions. Those two games, if you win both of those games, technically you would have been the better team than Baltimore with the in-division's record. AFC, that is, you're the one seed. It didn't matter last year, obviously, but it would have been a little bit nicer to have that. Here's the deal. If Mecole Hardman is coming in, who's the odd man out? Is it Sky Moore or is it Kadarius Toney? And the numbers that I can give you to give your opinion is if you keep Kadarius Toney next year, it's $2.5 million on the records. If you cut Kadarius Toney, it is $2.5 million in dead cap. If you keep Sky Moore next year, it's $1.7 million on the books. And if you part ways with Sky Moore, you eat $900,000. You choose where you like. Hardman is a safe hand. Whether he does it for you or not, he's not a guy that's going to go out there and give you 700, 800, 600 yards. He's a guy that Mahomes knows there's about four plays in the playbook that he knows Mecole Hardman will be. He trusts his speed, and he trusts his knowledge with him and the other guys. I don't think Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney have that, let alone will they have that, and I truly believe Kadarius Toney is the odd man out. I think he's the guy where it's like, hey, we tried. We thought it would work. It never happened. It was frustrating last year. I don't believe we have the same sort of rapport moving into this year, and we just don't want the headaches because, in fact, you're going for a three-peat of an NFL title. You might see things different, Mr. Sanchez.
I do. I think Sky Moore is the odd man out. I think he got his opportunity for more than half the season last year of just getting a ridiculous amount of snaps and doing absolutely nothing with them. Granted, he didn't hurt the team, but he didn't help the team any. I think maybe the only saving grace is maybe that, right, he's their draft pick. Mm-hmm. You spend a second round on him. But then again, you gave away a lot for Kadarius Toney. Not a lot, but you gave some away for Kadarius Toney.
Right.
And he has the higher ceiling. Whether you like to admit it or not, he might have the lower floor, right? But he has the higher ceiling. And I think his higher ceiling and what he can maybe bring to maybe like the special teams
mm-hmm.
part of it, I think also has to play into the equation because we tried that experiment with Sky Moore too, right? And that didn't necessarily go so well either. So I think he just maybe brings a little bit more to the table. Again, maybe a lower ceiling, or a lower floor, but a higher ceiling.
And I don't know if that ceiling still exists for Kadarius Toney, because a lot of times in professional careers, we see this where maybe the shock of not having it for a certain amount of time kind of takes that away. Like I'm with you, man. Like, Kadarius Toney's speed is there. Kadarius Toney's athleticism is there. Sky Moore was supposed to be that guy with tree trunk legs that could move like a running back but could catch like a receiver. We never saw it. And the way that special teams are moving forward in the NFL, it doesn't really seem like those guys fit either, especially when you go get, you know, Reese Lightning, right? You have guys like that maybe you want experience with. You have, you know, different opportunities there. And again, the main focus and the main narrative of this conversation is to do it three straight times. You've got to almost be perfect in year three of the championship run. And I don't think you can have that with either one, but I also don't think that you can keep Kadarius Toney for 2.5, whereas you could cut him for 2.5 and you have no distractions.
See, I don't think they necessarily have to be perfect. I mean, they proved that last year, right? That was a little bit of a train wreck of at least the first half of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of things that didn't go their way.
Right.
They could do the same thing, I think, this year. Again, I think they're at the point now, right, where it's just about getting into the playoffs. Like, as long as you can get in there, like, yeah, sure, you want the bye. If you don't get it, it is what it is. But get into the playoffs, and then they can turn it up, and they've proven that they can turn it up. So I think, especially going into the season on paper, with the offensive firepower they have, I think they will have a little more, and, right, the defensive pieces that they're bringing back, they have a little more wiggle room too, I think, this year than they did last year. So I think they do have the opportunity to experiment a little bit more this year and get away with a little bit more than, say, maybe they did last year, especially when they were kind of forced to last year because of Kadarius Toney's issues or Sky Moore being unproductive. So
right. It's just hard for me to pay a guy $2.5 million to just maybe return one or two kicks.
I mean, but that's
chump
change in the grand scheme of things. I mean, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I bet if you put up to a vote, who would you rather see stick around, Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore? I bet it's 70-30 Sky Moore.
You think? Oh, no way. No way.
I think so.
60-40, if not closer.
That they want Kadarius Toney to stay?
To go.
Yeah.
I think more people probably would want Kadarius Toney to go, but I think it'd be much closer than you think.
913-586. That's the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. This is After Hours. Coming up on the other side, some jobs, you just have to take them. I'll explain what I mean by that on the other side. Listen to After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
So hard. Makes me say, oh my Lord. 913-586-7610. Chiefs have to be more ruthless. Get rid of unwanted, useless players like Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney. Justin Watson had more production than those two combined last year. Trim the fat.
It's a good problem to have, right? Kind of first world problems.
Yeah. Number one in the world of football problems. Somebody says it's got to be Kadarius Toney. He's too much of a head case, no matter how much talent he has with the ball in his hands. If not KT, then stick his blank on kick returns. Not cussing. My buddy said they were going to listen to this while they're out in the pool. And every time I say a curse word, I have to hear it from his son and be like, you cussed on the air. You know how kids are.
That's why they don't call you the Dirty Werewolf anymore, right?
Nope. And because that name is linked to an armed robbery.
It's now the Dirty Gem.
The Dirty Jewel. I don't know about all that. I don't know if... I don't know if you heard or saw this news today, but a Woj bomb came flying in at about 7 o'clock this morning. Unfortunately, I'm a loser, and I have Adam Schefter and other guys' notifications on alert. And at like 7:30, my phone dings, and I thought maybe I missed something, and it was just this.
Woj, what do you have this morning?
Randy, a massive development in the NBA, potentially college basketball. The Los Angeles Lakers are preparing a massive long-term offer for Connecticut Huskies coach Dan Hurley to become the next Lakers coach. He is the target of their search. He's been the target of the Lakers search since the beginning. The sides have had preliminary contact, I'm told, and those conversations are expected to escalate in the coming days. Dan Hurley has shown a willingness to listen to the Lakers, Rob Pelinka, their vice president and GM, and Jeannie Buss, their owner, to hear them out on what a Hurley-Lakers partnership would look like. And this, you know, for Dan Hurley, the NBA has been an ambition of his. He has talked about it. And the chance to hear out the Lakers, which is certainly the mountaintop of coaching at any level, is something he's going to do now in the coming days. The Lakers have been relentless, I'm told, in their pursuit of Hurley. And now they're going to get a chance, you know, to extensively lay out to him the vision they see for bringing Dan Hurley's program to the NBA. And that's what the Lakers are after here, I'm told, is putting in place a legacy coach with a long-term deal. I'm told a massive commitment financially, and allow Dan Hurley to come to LA and put in place a system, put in place a real long-term vision with Pelinka to run that organization. Certainly major ramifications for the UConn program, back-to-back national championships. You know, Dan Hurley has become the most sought-after coach at any level of basketball. He was not willing to listen to any college jobs, you know, after winning that second championship, but he is willing to listen to the Lakers. They have communicated, and those talks now are going to pick up over the next few days.
That was a Woj bomb that we got this morning. Dan Hurley, according to SpotTrack, signed a six-year, $32.1 million extension with UConn last summer. He must pay 1.8 fee to leave for an NBA job. He was reportedly offered anywhere from $10 to $12 million per year from Kentucky, and top NBA head coaches reportedly earn between $14 and $17 million per year. A six-year, $32 million contract, easy math, about $5.3 million a year, a significant jump. As they are talking about this on NBA pregame right now as we speak, it's almost like we spoke it into existence to NBA. This is a job, the Lakers' job, and you heard Wojnarowski talk about it. You have to take this job.
Do you though?
You do. It is the Los Angeles Lakers. It is showtime. It is LA. What else?
But you have a chance to three-peat.
But what? But okay, in college
basketball, for national championship.
That's fine. I mean, you have a chance to go to the Lakers and coach LeBron and bring in a team and win an NBA title to LA, which hasn't been done in quite some time.
That's not one. It's not going to happen with LeBron. Not this LeBron AD experiment. They're old. There's too many other teams in the Western Conference that are too young and too talented. You're not going to win a championship with them. So I guess it depends on the promises and the contract and the money that they give you. If they're willing to, because if you look through Dan Hurley's like career, he is much more of a culture guy.
Sure.
He builds programs up from the bottom up. Are they going to be patient enough? Because the Lakers have shown that they are not patient, right, with coaches. I mean, I say this, right? You have a chance at a three-peat at a national championship. That Lakers job could be open next year. They're not known for keeping coaches around, right?
Sure.
I mean, that's just this, you maybe get 1 or 2 years. And I feel like I don't know how he's going to mesh with some of those veteran players like a LeBron. He coaches hard, man. He coaches hard. He expects a lot.
Right.
Is that going to work in the NBA with players like that that are veterans? It might work with a younger team, a younger roster. But this veteran, I mean, it almost feels like they just need to cut ties with those guys, trade them, get what they can, and just start the rebuild process now.
Or maybe you change the outlook of what LeBron James's career is. You build around him and you say, you know what, you're our point guard. We don't need you to score 28 a night. We just want you to be the delivery.
But what are you going to build around him with? You don't really have draft picks.
No,
so
but
you
can't
make trades.
You got free agency.
You can't draft.
You got free agency. You do have trades. You could move Anthony Davis. You could bring in a Steph Curry. You could build a somewhat super team and have this guy who builds culture, who changes the way of it. And then all of a sudden, L.A. has this sort of, you know, new vibe to them. Because L.A., right, even though they weren't the great L.A. teams of the past, this year they were still relevant towards the end. They were still doing certain things, and then it just didn't go well for them down the stretch, especially in the playoffs, you know. But again, a guy like Hurley in UConn, and again, somebody says Coach K turned down the job in the early 2000s, right? Coach K was one of those guys who was never going to leave Duke because he had been at Duke since like the 1980s. So he'd already been there 20 years. How long has Hurley been at UConn? Less than a decade? Maybe a decade? He's
under
a decade. Yeah. He's won three titles, right? Back to back. I believe he's won two, but he's won back to back. He's far and away has the number one program in college basketball currently. I don't know if a three-peat is necessarily worth it to him to a... Because, again, look, you and I both know that if Boston or New York or L.A. says, hey, we want this Dusty Likens kid or guy to come to our radio station. I love Kansas City. I love all of you that listen. That's a job that I have to take.
But you don't have... He's not a win now coach. So what you're talking about
doing...
But
neither is Jim Harbaugh. And Jim Harbaugh left Michigan after winning a national title.
Yeah, but he's got more of a foundation. He's got younger pieces to work with.
But the Lakers can bring that in.
Yes and no, but you're still dealing with veteran players like a LeBron. Like, that's still a win now situation. I don't think people expect Jim Harbaugh to come in, make it to the playoffs, and win a Super Bowl next year.
Well, he's never going
to
do that because he's in the same division as the Chiefs.
This is true, but I digress.
Basketball is a little different. Where I think that you look at teams like the Oklahoma City Thunder, the number one team in the West with the youngest roster. You look at the teams that are in tonight's talent or in tonight's showcase. They are known for having two solid players on their each side. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Luka Doncic, and Kyrie Irving. Now, a little bit of anomaly because you might have the best player in the NBA in Luka and probably one of the top five point guards to ever play the game. Jason Tatum, lot to prove. Jaylen Brown, great player. If Hurley can get somebody to mesh with LeBron and can get somebody in a draft and build that team with what he knows how to build, and I think that he's able to talk to grown men the way that you're supposed to, unlike how you recruit and talk to young kids in college, to me, it just seems like this is a job that is like, hey, man, you've waited your whole life for this situation.
It's always going to be there. You say that, but it's always going to be there, man. The NBA is always going to be there. Go when it's most suitable for you, and I don't feel like this is the most. I still think he'll succeed.
Always be there. They might get a guy outside of Hurley that starts winning. All of a sudden, it's like that job's never there anymore. Now you can have the blank.
Yeah,
job.
But again, the history of Lakers hiring coaches right now, especially with the more of a win now mentality, I'll take my chances that the next coach is going to last maybe a couple seasons.
I think we find out at least by next week that Dan Hurley is taking the Lakers job.
Yeah, he'll still take it.
Yeah.
He will.
That's Julio Sanchez. I'm Dusty Likens. Coming up on the other side, it's NBA Finals time. That's right. We'll get back to the Royals. We'll talk a little bit more Chiefs later on, and we'll do the out of left field question in about 59 minutes. This is After Hours, but coming up next, it's all about the Celtics and the Mavericks tonight. Who you got? Who do you like? Who do you hate? Who do you want? I'm Dusty Likens. That's Julio Sanchez. This is 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Hi, this is Toby Tobin along with Jason Goodenkoff from Lewisburg Ford in Lewisburg, Kansas. Hi, Jason.
Hello, Toby.
Holy cow, you've done it again.
We've done it again, Toby. We won the President's Award again this year. This is the 21st time that we've been awarded this awesome honor from Ford Motor Company.
But what is the President's Award?
The President's Award is the top award Ford Motor Company gives its dealers for excellence in customer satisfaction in both sales and service and their sales penetration numbers. So we are super honored to have received this award for the 21st time.
It covers the whole world. Works at Lewisburg Ford.
Absolutely, and it's a testament to the awesome people we have working at Lewisburg.